Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Hey, Central Park. Hey, I apologize again for this weather. What a nightmare trying to get everybody safe, make sure things are going well with church. And I know we got all kinds of weather coming in and all kinds of things happening. So I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're at home avoiding this freezing cold temperatures. And hey, guess what? We have snow coming tomorrow as well. I guess tomorrow would technically be Monday, Tuesday. It's actually Saturday for me. I'm in Arkansas right now, visiting with my wife's parents and trying to work out some of those situations, and my wife's sister and family. And so it's been a great, you know, just getaway for us, but it's also been kind of challenging at times, and family struggles and things going on. So we'd appreciate your prayers through that as family tries to figure out how they're going to move forward here with the parents and situations going on here. So thank you so much for your prayers for that. Hey, thank you so much for being praying for Coltley. If you haven't been added to the new Facebook page for Coltley due to his diagnosis, you might reach out to Dustin or Emily and they'll try and get you added to that. But man, it, you know, I'm so thankful that Dustin and Emily finally got some answers for what's going on with Coltley. And, you know, we just continue to lift them up in prayer. And it's a very difficult process and a journey for them. So reach out to them, send them a card, you know, text, email, let them know that you love them, you're praying for them. And I'm sure we'll be hearing updates to that Facebook page here soon. The other day during this last week, I actually had the opportunity to sit down with Lance at First Church of Christ there in Georgetown. And as many of you know, he's the new lead minister there. And it was a great opportunity for us just to sit down together and plan out a sermon series. And, you know, people say that we look a lot alike. I don't know. You know, if he does, I'm sorry, Lance. Poor kid. This is your future, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, or maybe I should say poor Hadley. You know, it is what it is. But we sat down in his office and started pouring through scripture and some of the things that we'd like to do in our congregations and just share with each other about ways that we can minister and reach our communities. And you know, we kind of came up with this sermon series on James. And so we're going to be walking through the book of James together here in the coming weeks. And, you know, I thought I'd have to do a lot of the work, but man, I was sitting down and just listening to Lance pour out scripture. And, you know, I'm so proud as a father just to sit back and, you know, it's kind of like looking in that mirror and seeing yourself a lot younger in ministry and seeing yourself pour through some of those things and trying to put it all together. But man, Lance was doing such a great job of doing that. And it just did my heart so good to watch him and be part of that. And so we got to looking at the scripture, and so we're both going to be preaching out of James 1, I believe. Lance may start it next week, I'm not sure, due to his COVID situation, and FCOC is closed this week because of COVID, and so be praying for Lance and Hadley as they have COVID now, they've been diagnosed, and so be praying for them and the church and the ministry there. But James 1, and particularly verse 23 and 24, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. And I got to kind of pondering that, and it kind of reminded me of that Snow White, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And I actually attached that link to a previous post on our Facebook page, and so you can go kind of refresh your memory if you don't remember that. But there's also a photo there of a person standing looking in a mirror, and I got to thinking about what a mirror actually does, and a mirror casts a reflection. And so the definition of reflection, if you will, it is the throwing back by a body or surface of light or heat or sound without absorbing it. It's the opposite of, and the opposite of reflection is absorption. So I found this quote from Steve Maraboli, and it says, "There is nothing worse for the lying soul than the mirror of reality." And it kind of got me to thinking that when we look in the mirror, what do we truly see? Do we see ourselves for who we are? Do we see the world's view of us? Do we see all of the labels? I'm getting older, and my coworkers are pretty quick to tell me about that all the time. Is that the reflection I see? Do I see that young me as I saw in Lance, and the way that he was just working through so many things and growing up and maturing and seeing myself in all of my children? Or do I see myself differently? So there's this positive, which is the reflection, and I think that lends more to reality because, like the definition says, it's not absorbed, it's just reflected. It's not changing anything, it's just reflecting it. When something is absorbed, it begins to change it. For some reason, my computer is wanting to do updates, and I'm trying to figure out why that is right now, but sorry about that. But there's the difference. The positive is the reflection, the negative is the absorption. And in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 and 12 through 16, we see all of this reflection, the positive transitions that take place between the trials and the temptations. You see, I think those things that he's talking about here, that James is talking about, refers to those things that make us stronger. So what is it in your life that makes you stronger? Is it the study when you sit down and you pore through scripture and that makes you heart strong? But what is it that makes you stronger? Is it going through those trials and temptations, those moments in your life, and you come out the other side of that event? I think those things tend to make you a lot stronger in life. When you've been through it and been tested and tried and gone through all of those issues in your life, I tend to think that those things make you stronger. And so maybe it's about perseverance and steadfastness. Maybe it's about how you persevered through all of those trials and temptations, and you came out stronger on the other side, and you can see how that steadfast life that you held to, that positive reality in your life, and the way that you moved step by step through that. On the other side of those trials and temptations, they don't feel very good when you're going through them. I get that. But when you're on the other side of those trials and those temptations, I think that's when you develop true maturity. You find yourself, as the scripture says, perfect and complete after that trial and that temptation. Because, in all honesty, you don't want to go back to the way it was. You don't want to go back to all those trials and temptations and go back through those same struggles. So you begin to learn and grapple with how I'm going to persevere through the trials of life and the temptations that I face daily in life. And I think that's what develops that maturity. So look at James 1, verse 2. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." As I got to looking at that this week, I began to ponder my own life and wondering, what are the areas that I'm lacking in? What are the areas that I feel perfectly content with and have persevered through? What are those areas in life that I can simply look back and say, I'm not lacking anything in that? And I hope today that you understand that maybe the point of what God is trying to get you to go through this or to see through this is that lacking in nothing, he's referring to faith. He's referring to that maturity level. He's referring to the testing of your faith, those trials and temptations that you've gone through in life. He says that he wants to make those perfect in you. Now look at verse 12. He says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under that trial. There's that steadfastness again. He says, you're blessed when you remain under that trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Now, you might want to circle that or highlight that crown of life phrase there, because that is important. Because he goes on, he says, it is that crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. That's powerful. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Look at verse 14, and this is the transitional point. He says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Now, that begins the transitional point from that positive, that reality, the trials and temptations and the way that we persevere through those and then make us stronger and we develop that steadfastness and we find that maturity and it develops us in our faith to become perfect, complete in that faith. It transitions from those things into this negative, which is that absorption, that it's a distorted view, if you will. So if you look at James 13 through 16, that you begin to see Satan's perspective. It's the differences and it's the perversion of the story. It's the weaknesses that we always tend to focus on. What is, instead of looking at our strengths, we always look at our weaknesses. It's that perversion and how it equals distortion. In verse 15, he writes, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now, the transitional point there is that Satan's perspective is all about perversion and weakness. He wants you to feel as if you can never get over what you're going through, that you'll never be able to be perfect and complete in your faith, that you'll never make it through that trial or that struggle in your job or your family or your personal life or whatever it is, that you'll never get through those temptations that Satan is throwing at you left and right. You'll never be strong enough, that you'll never develop enough steadfastness to maintain that complete faith, that you'll never grow out of that spiritual milk, if you will, into that maturity that says I'm complete in my faith. That's Satan's goal, to show you as a weak person, to show you that you'll never be able to persevere, and he wants to absorb you into that negative, distorted view of life. Here's the positive versus the negative. It is reflection and absorption. It's reality and distorted view. The reality is that you have a Savior named Jesus Christ who loves you beyond all measure, that wants to move you through those trials and temptations to make you stronger, to grow within you and help you persevere and remain steadfast in your life and faithful and grow into that mature, perfect, complete Christian. That's reality. But yet on the other hand, we have this absorbed view that says somehow life has become all about us. That somehow, who cares about all the other stuff going on in life? It's all about us, me, my, myself, and what I can get out of it. See, that's Satan's perspective. It's about our weaknesses being accentuated. It's about perversion and how that distorts our view of ourself. And when we look in that mirror, we don't see ourselves anymore. We don't see Christ anymore. We don't see that love that he has for us when he went to the cross for us. We see that distorted, weak, simple view. It says, I'm absorbed in life. Here's the power. Look at verse 12 again. And I want to conclude with this. That little phrase I had just circled, that crown of life. You see, that's powerful to me because that's the crescendo of all of this. That is the goal of that perseverance and that maturity. That is the goal of going through all of those trials and temptations. It's to make us complete. In verse 12, he writes, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under those trials. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. I found this quote by a guy named Eric. Excuse me. And he writes, the moment the mirror does not recognize us anymore, the cards are no longer in our hands. In effect, he writes, we have failed to see the bottom line of our story and lost our identity. He wrote that and he calls it the empty mirror. Maybe today you're looking into that mirror and you don't see the self that you used to see. Maybe today you're looking in that mirror and you see all of that distorted view, the absorption of this world and the trials and the temptations, and you haven't persevered through them yet. Maybe you're looking in that mirror and you're trying to find that mature, steadfast, perfect, complete person again. The only way that you find that is through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not through the absorption of all of that, but it's through the reflection of who he is and what he sees in us and what he desires for us. You see, as we walk through the book of James, I want you to constantly look into that mirror and see if that view doesn't change over this course of this sermon series. Thank you so much for joining us today. And you know, I want to pray with you. And if you have a decision to make, won't you make it? Won't you accept Christ maybe for the first time ever? Maybe it's about rededicating your life. Whatever that need is, won't you give that to Christ today? If you have a prayer request, please drop it in the comment section below. Whatever that need is, we're here for you today. We want to be praying with you and for you through whatever you face. May God bless you this week, and we look forward to seeing you together at God's house again soon. May God bless you. We'll see you soon. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for Jesus and his love for us and the way that he moves us from that weak, distorted, absorbed view into this precious reflection of him, that one day through perseverance and maturity, we will have the crown of life placed upon our heads. We are God ordained. We are God's chosen. And today we accept Jesus Christ. We move forward, recognizing the trials and temptations are going to come, but we're going to handle them differently with the reflection of Jesus Christ. For it is his love for us that carries us. By your Spirit, Father, move us. May you guide us, direct us, and change us. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you soon. Take care. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, You can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.